Good morning, brothers and sisters of Southside. Seems a little strange to me this morning to be presenting my sermon to you from the easy chair in my den, but I suppose there's several things that are going to seem very strange to us in the near future as we're dealing with the coronavirus and the aftermath of that disease. It's never an easy thing to decide to cancel a worship service. In fact, in the 30 years that I've been preaching, this is the first time that I've ever been in a congregation that had to decide to cancel a Sunday morning worship service. I've asked myself several times if it's okay for us to cancel worship service on Sunday morning, because in a way it seems so very faithless of us to do so. And yet the more I've considered it, the more I realize that it is the right decision to make at this time because of the situation we're in. Last week when all my boys were home, and we decided to have services last week in spite of the coronavirus, one of the boys asked me, "Dad, why are y'all meeting today, knowing how dangerous this disease is?" And I made a statement at the time that seemed very wise to me at the time, but it now seems pretty foolish to me as I've thought about it over the days. But I said to him, "Son, I just have to believe that God is not going to allow us to get sick if we're meeting in His name." I realize now that that was probably a foolish thing to say, because God has never promised ever to keep us healthy or to make us immune to disease just because we're meeting in His name. In fact, we just find that even in Scripture, those folks who are the most faithful to Him sometimes had to face diseases. Diseases happen. Paul, for example, had a thorn in the flesh that God actually gave him, I think, to keep him from exalting himself. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 7, Paul says, "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself." God thought that it was best to cause Paul to have a thorn in the flesh so that he wouldn't exalt himself, so he'd remain humble, and so he caused that to happen to him. We also find that Paul was oftentimes abused as an emissary for Christ, as an apostle in his name. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 and 25, Paul will say there that he was abused many times for the sake of Christ. He says, "Five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes, three times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I've spent in the deep." God allowed those things to happen to Paul again, not because Paul was faithless, but because Paul was faithful. Sometimes we face things that are not pleasant because we're Christians, but the question that I want to ask this time is, do we go out seeking those things on purpose or taking chances with those things if they're not necessary? Paul faced what he faced because he was a Christian in the first century, and the first century was a dangerous place. We find other folks in the Scripture who had some issues from time to time with their health. For example, Timothy was said by Paul to need to take wine for stomach's sake in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. Paul said to him there, "No longer drink water exclusively, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments." Even though Timothy was a faithful preacher, he still had frequent ailments, and so he needed some help for that. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 25 through 27, we read about Epaphroditus, a very faithful man who was Paul's companion, sent by the church at Philippi to aid Paul. But Paul says in verse 25, "I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also a minister to my need." "But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your minister to my needs, because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, not on him only also, but on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow." So even though Epaphroditus was faithfully serving God, God chose to allow him to have a disease, to be sick enough that he was almost dead. Even though those things, as I think back on it, I was very reluctant to cancel worship services. I reasoned that truly faithful folks would attend worship even if their lives were in jeopardy. So why were we running from a disease that we don't even know if it's going to strike us or not? I proposed to the elders some ideas for a way to be safer, possibly, in worship, but certainly not safe. And I'm certainly glad at this point, though, that they chose to do what they did, and that was to cancel the worship services for a while. I've come to grips with the idea that we were doing the right thing, because we're not being forced to do this at all. We're doing this as a result of our concerns for the people of our community, what we think is right. We're not closing because we're forced to by the government, even though I do understand that at most recent time, the county of Bell County has decided to impose a $1,000 fine on groups of 10 folks or more who are meeting in a place to try to help to cut down on the possibility of people contracting the coronavirus. But we didn't make that decision knowing that. That happened after we already made the decision. Rather, we wanted to do what was right by God and by our brothers and sisters in Christ, because we think that we can serve folks better if we just don't meet at this time, even on Sunday morning. The question comes down to what's best for our flock. Maybe you remember in Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 through 5, where God is addressing the elders or the shepherds of the flock of Israel. And he's chastising them strongly because they were abusing the sheep in their charge. If you follow along with me in Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 through 5, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, Thus says the Lord God, Woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves! Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourself with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened, the diseased you have not healed, the broken you have not bound up, the scattered you have not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and with severity you have dominated them. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field, and were scattered." So even though I think we understand that God was not being literal here, he was being metaphorical. He's speaking of the shepherds of Israel abusing the sheep, not physically so much as emotionally and spiritually. But I have a question for us today. If God was chastising the elders of Israel, or the shepherds of Israel, for failing to heal the sick sheep amongst them, would he praise us if we exposed our sheep to the potential of disease and possibly even death? See, I just don't think God would praise us for that. I think he gave us the knowledge and the ability to think through things to the extent that we can realize that sometimes it's going to be best for us not to do what we would usually do, but sometimes we have to do some things that are very hard to do. And that's especially true, I think, concerning the worship on the Sunday morning. And I'm going to be very, very careful how I say this. When we realize that we were never, ever commanded by God, never commanded by God specifically to meet every first day of the week, every first day of the week. We were never commanded by God to do that. Now, we have plenty of examples, of course, of the church meeting on the first day of the week. We have plenty of examples to show that they did that as a matter of course and a matter of fact. Because of that, we do meet on the first day of the week every time that we should do so. However, we realize that the thing that we're told not to do is told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, if that's on the first day of the week, that's fine. We're not supposed to forsake the assembly. Brethren, what we're told not to do is not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now that's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. The Hebrew writer says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So we're told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but never are we told that we can ever call off a worship service if we have to. There's a big difference between missing occasionally and even missing on purpose because we feel like it's the best thing for us and forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. If we have absolute faith that we made the right decision, we can only do so if we made it according to certain guidelines, I think. We first of all have to realize that we didn't make this willingly. We didn't want to cancel services. We don't desire to cancel services, but sometimes we find that it's best if we do. Certainly, we didn't make it lightly. We didn't make this decision lightly. There was a great deal of thought that went into the decision, a great deal of considering what the law was asking us to do, what the communities were best for, what was best for us in the communities to do. We were trying to decide what was best for our flock, especially to do. And thirdly, and most importantly, I think this is not a permanent decision. It's not something we decide to do permanently. We're not going to stop meeting together on the first day of the week, even for a long period of time, if we can help it. What we're going to do is we're going to return to meeting together just as soon as it's reasonably safe for us to do so. As soon as we are relatively sure that we won't become very ill if we do so, or that people of our congregation might not die or might die if they're exposed to this disease. So we don't want any of our number to be harmed by our careless actions or by being too hasty, even if it is to defend the status quo of attending worship every time the doors are open. So we have made this decision, not just on Sunday mornings, but also on Wednesday nights for a while, to not meet together and to take a time apart from one another so that we can be safe. So what do we do in the meantime? Well, in the meantime, folks, we go on being the Church of Christ. We go on being fellowship. We go on being in fellowship with one another as much as we can possibly be, but we just do it in different ways. We use other means for fellowship. We'll spend our time in prayer because we've always done that and we'll continue to do so. We'll spend our time in Bible study because we've always done that and we'll continue to do so. We'll continue to meditate on the Word of God as we should always have done. Continue to study the Word of God as often as we have the opportunity to do so. We'll continue to talk to one another, serve one another, and love one another as best as we possibly can. We'll just sort of do so from a distance rather than in the same building, the same place, and at the same time. We're going to encourage one another. We're going to honor one another. We're going to love one another as we're commanded to do in Scripture. We're always going to serve one another as best we are able to do. Even though there is a potential of a deadly virus being in our communities, as long as we exercise some real restraint in our meeting together, as long as we practice some really safe practices, we will be okay and we probably will not contract the virus. So we don't have to ignore one another. We don't have to stay away from each other permanently. But we do have to take a time where we're very careful about how we do things. The biggest thing that I think we can do is we can continue to pray. We should always continue to pray at all times. We need to pray for our community as we've always done. Pray that God will use us to touch the hearts with the gospel, the hearts of folks around us with the gospel. We need to continue to pray that we will have opportunities to spread the gospel to those around us. And quite possibly by making a decision like we've made, we'll show the community that we care very much about the people who are a part of our flock. We care whether people are healthy or not. We care whether they're able to carry on or not. We care very much that they stay well. I think that's a good message to send to the community that we live in. Yes, it makes things difficult, but it's certainly the best decision we can make. Things are going to be a little more difficult because it's harder for us to do certain things that we're used to doing. For example, at this point in time on the sermon, I want to offer an invitation, but it's difficult to offer the invitation because we're not together where we can have an immediate response. But I still think it's very valuable for us to offer an invitation, and I'm going to do so this time. If you're listening to the sound of my voice and you've heard the sermon, something about the sermon has touched your heart and you decide you need to be baptized in the Lord, we certainly want you to be baptized and we need you to contact us as best you can. The numbers for the elders and for myself are in the bulletin, and you can also find the numbers on the webpage if you'll go to our webpage. But one way or another, we need to reach you and have you respond. So if you need to be baptized, please call us and let us know. We'll make sure that we arrange for that to take place in a way that's safe and able to be done. Also, if you have prayer requests, we are a praying congregation. If you have prayer requests, I pray that you'll first of all, let us know your prayer requests. And the best way to do that is through our web pages or through our, the best way to do that is through our Facebook page. So if you're not a member of the Facebook community yet, it'd be very great for you to do that because that's where we carry on most of our interactions as a family. That's through our Facebook page for the Southside Facebook page. So if you don't know how to run Facebook and you'd like to learn, there's folks that can teach you that very easy. But at the meantime, I just hope that you'll decide to become a part of that community. It's where we share most of our prayer requests for one another, and we can also know that you need us to pray for you. If not, then you can certainly still call the numbers, and we'll make sure that we get that prayer request out to everybody that needs to be praying for you. Whatever your needs are this morning, I pray that you'll make that known to us in any way that you're able, either through telephone calls or through the Facebook page, whatever it is. Let us know those things, and we will get back together as soon as we possibly can. For the very near future, we're going to have to do some things in a difficult way. For Wednesday night, I intend by Wednesday night to have a lesson put together for the Satan study that we've been doing on Wednesday nights. So we'll present that in video format just like I did here. These videos will be posted on YouTube, and I'll place the links on the Facebook page and emails to everyone so you'll know where the link is to be. And you can watch those as you have opportunity. In the meantime, we just pray that you'll be safe out there, that you'll take care of one another, you'll take care of yourselves, that you'll do the business for the Lord as you've always done. Pray that everyone will be safe and continue to pray for a quick solution and a quick end to this coronavirus so we can return back to our usual and customary way of doing things. Till that time, I pray that God will bless you and every one of us. And I pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and I pray that you'll have a great and safe week. In Jesus' name, we're going to end this sermon. Just this care for you, this expression of care for you, that I hope that you're going to be okay. And that's all dumb, and I hate that I just said that, but anyway, I'm going to stop there, and we'll edit it in a little while. It's my prayer for each and every one of you that you have a very safe week, and that we'll be back together as soon as we possibly can. Hope that you'll pray for those same things, and may the Lord bless you and keep you until we come back again together at the appropriate time. Have a good week, and thank you for taking the time to do this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. till we can come back together again. Have a great week, and I hope you enjoy your week together in the end.